this is Michael Fanning, and I'm the host of the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our quick form podcast where we'll talk to Windermere agents who bring creative ideas, power strategies, and successful routines to light. In each episode, we'll talk to real estate professionals to learn what they have done that have allowed them to be better than they were yesterday. Please enjoy our podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and this is Michael Fanning, and I'm the host of the Windermere Coaching Minute, and this is our podcast where we talk to Windermere agents who bring creative strategies, power ideas, and successful routines to light. And today I'm thrilled because I have Jeremy Johnson and Cassie Walker-Johnson with us. Two of you, how you doing?
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for being here. And we're going to be talking about a fun topic today. But real quick, before we jump into all the content, let me just give you some background. So Jeremy has been in the business since 2002. So that's 20 years. So Jeremy, you've seen a lot of these markets that we're going through, correct?
Correct. Seems like I've been through them all.
You've been through them all. Exactly. Yeah. And Cassie, you've been in it since 05, so 17 years. So same type of thing. You've seen these markets as well. And one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have the both of you on today is because of one is how you conduct yourselves in business, the level of professionalism. The other thing is specifically working with buyers. And so today we're going to talk about buyer compensation, buyer's agency agreements, and the fears around it and how you've negotiated those and simplified your process to where you're doing 100% of the time. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to be able to learn from this. So to set the stage, here's what I want to do. I'm just going to read. So this is a Windermere form. The name of the form is Demystifying Real Estate Agent Compensation. And this is our Windermere Form 30. And so for our listeners that aren't in real estate, this is something that you may or may not know. For people who are in real estate, it may be something you may or may not know. So here we go. So it says, who pays? So in a traditional transaction in real estate, there's a fee that the sellers pay, and traditionally the sellers have paid the fee. But here's what it says. Traditionally, sellers pay one commission, typically a percentage of the sales price. From that commission, the seller's agent would offer an amount to the buyer's agent under some current multiple listing services, MLS, that's what that stands for, forms and rules. Agent compensation is split into two distinct parts, the seller agent compensation and the buyer agent compensation. Most sellers offer to pay both agents' compensation, but there is no rule that mandates that the seller do so. And says, does the seller have to offer a compensation to the buyer's agent? The answer is no. And so one of the things we want to talk about today is just as we are listing a home, we have a listing contract, which is done 100% of the time, right? In most
markets
we operate in. Yet we now, we're buyer's agents working with buyers, and very few buyer's agents use a contract.
Yeah. And, you know, it's how often do you enter into agreement with an attorney or a cell phone company? Or, you know, it's very difficult to work with somebody without a contract. And I think that our industry is recognizing and shifting with us and realizing that, you know, when you work with somebody, you need to have a basis of an agreement of how is this going to happen and what are the terms, so that we don't end up in these funny situations of, you know, you know, like we were talking about, you know, going in on vacation and suddenly you send them up with someone and then they buy with the agent that listed the property and it's like, okay, 6 months.
Right.
With no compensation.
That's great. Let's talk about some of these scenarios, first of all, as to why there is a need for this contract. So one of the things we talked about is I'm representing a buyer and I'm not with them when they go look at a house or they go to an open house for whatever reason. I haven't educated them on proper etiquette and how they're going to show up and what they're going to say. And they don't know. And I think that's a big thing. You know, we assume so many times that our clients know what they need to do and how they need to conduct themselves. And they don't. Right.
No.
Very, very clear, you know, defined expectations of how we work and what we do. So they go out there, and then all of a sudden there's an offer written up by that agent that's there. Maybe it's a dual agency, and you know, and then they don't get paid on it. And they don't get paid on it because there's no contract, right? This business we're in is all based on everything is a contract. And so we don't get paid, and we do all this hard work, and we don't get there because we're not using an agreement. That's right. A scenario that can happen. The other one is in a scenario where I do a lot of work and we're finding homes, and lo and behold, according to this form, there's no compensation being offered to the buyer's agent.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's, I mean, I don't work for free. You too don't work for free.
Right.
So
yeah,
going to compensate us. Well, the people we did the work for, who is that? That's the buyers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we're talking about the buyer agency agreement that we now use religiously, we will outline a level of commission. We usually say 2.5% to 3%. You know, Jeremy and I talk about it a lot. We will always show a property regardless of the selling office commission or the buyer agent commission, as they call it now. We have never once actually had a buyer like a house that had a low buyer agent commission because they're cutting everywhere. So right. They're cutting costs in the cost to sell a house. They're cutting costs in plumbing and repairs and maintenance and even, you know, cleaning the house. So it's actually never happened for us that we've had somebody say, okay, I want this house, and the commission was 1%.
Right. Well, and you've been doing this now, and I know, Jeremy, you said this, you guys have been doing this for well over 10 years. And what I loved about it is you said to me, you guys do it 100% of the time.
We do, yeah, without fail.
So one of the things maybe for our listeners out there is there's a fear out there, right? What do you, I mean, and I've got my ideas on it, but what do you think some of the fears are for buyer's agents that don't do it? And, you know, they know they should, but they don't do it. They have this fear that, oh, I'm just not going to do it. What do you think causes some of that?
I think I had some of the same fears in the beginning. It's an awkward conversation because I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't understand why it was good for everybody and come up with a reason that made sense.
Or a system on how to present it.
Yes.
Yes. Another way to say it. Yeah.
How to articulate what it is. So let's talk about this for a second. So let's think about the benefits. So what's the benefit to the buyer? Let's talk about some of the benefits to the buyer for the, signing that agreement.
I think for one is that they get 100% of our dedication.
Yes.
So when they sign that agreement, they are saying, yes, you are my agent. I'm hiring you to represent me. And so we're giving them 100% of us.
Yes.
And I think that's the number one benefit is that they are, you know, they have full representation. If we're working with somebody who either A, doesn't follow our system, or B, it was like, oh, I just want to look at this house. They don't want to sign the buyer agency agreement. You know, we have other people who've already signed it. So that's where our focus is
yes.
Those agents, I mean, those buyers that have signed the agreement and are committed to us.
And in that vein, that's the ultimate qualifier, right? Yes, you may give up a client, but were they a client anyway? Or were mm-hmm. they just wasting your time for the one open house they couldn't get to, or their vacation, or I'm sorry, their agent was on vacation and they needed somebody to open the door for them.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Just meeting people at the house is a great way to sometimes get a client, but it's probably 1 in 10, not 9 in 10, right?
Exactly. So, well, and I like the saying, and I think it was Greg Lewis that said this to me. He says, here's the thing that I say, I'm committed to work with people who are committed to me.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, yep. And because I'm going to do my due diligence and do the best I can for you, but my commitment to you is based on your commitment to me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another benefit, you know, in this market, as we're shifting a little different, but a lot of people talk about, okay, so, you know, when we present an offer, you know, we say, okay, we have a buyer agency agreement. Like, this is a serious buyer and yes. is not just kind of looky-loo or just throwing in an offer to see what happens. So I think it also gives good representation when we're presenting an offer in sort of any market that the seller understands and the seller's agent understands that this person's serious.
Well, let's think about this, right? So one of the things that they're paying you for, right, when they're paying that buyer's agency, the buyer's fee, is that negotiating on their behalf. And a buyer's agency agreement is a negotiating strong point or negotiating tool to put them in the eyes of the seller, a more dedicated and committed buyer,
yeah,
right? That strengthens, you know, we think about this, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, in an offer, you know, there's price. Well, no, there's other things that strengthen an offer. And this is one of the tools that allows them to strengthen their offer as well. Would you agree?
Yeah. And absolutely. I think another benefit is it just gives a buyer clarity and understanding. One, about the process. You know, I think that some brokers get concerned or worried or nervous about presenting the buyer agency agreement because the buyer doesn't have the information. And, you know, we've talked a couple times. We did a podcast with Laura Smith, and we were just talking about, like, this is how you get hired. Like, it's just a process. It's how buyers hire you. And this is the way you hire us. And so when we are presenting a system, I think it gives buyers more confidence that A, you know what you're doing, and B, that you have a system. This is the beginning of it. And as we move along in the process, you know, to the final success of handing over keys, they feel confident. And I honestly think it builds trust.
Yes.
And I think even those guys that you referred, even like, let's say it was your friend said, hey, my friend is looking at buying this house, is going to go to this open house this weekend. They're like in a rush, right?
Yes.
They're almost always in a rush because it's exciting, but they rarely buy that first house. So yeah, go to the open house. Let's just set up our meeting time. Let's do whatever we're going to do to educate you about the process. And usually by the time we've had our meeting or the open house, they usually don't coincide exactly, but before the offer review date would have been in the last 5 years and maybe changing, but also that's not going to change because things aren't going in 2 days. So you still have time to like put the process in place.
Yeah.
Take your time, do it right, and let them investigate the house. No big deal. And you could even go show them, but still do your process, right? You know,
yes.
Still get the lender involved and say, let's go look at this house just to get an idea of what you feel. But then after that, as soon as we take that off the list, we're going to do the real process and we're going to do an education day. Right, we're still going to do the 10-step process. We're still going to go, and it may take a couple of weeks before you're really ready.
Right,
but they respect that at the end of the day.
Yeah.
After the initial rush goes away, they understand that we're working in their best interest by making them go through the process.
Well, it's been my experience, and I mean, this is just in real estate. This isn't anything. Is we've got to slow down in order to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, with so many moving parts and negotiating a contract and engaging in this world of real estate, if we're flying by the seat of our pants and we're just trying to jump through hoops and letting the buyer run the process and we don't have our process, our percentage of success drastically decreases.
Drastically.
Yeah. Have the highest level of success. And this is, you know, you say this to the buyer, say, if you're willing to invest this time with us up front, it's going to save us time on the end. And also it's going to give us a higher level of success, which is what I'm pretty sure is what you're trying to get to.
Yeah. And every single time that we go back and look at like a buyer that didn't work out, you know, we kind of look, go back and say, okay, well, what happened? We skip the step in the process.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we did. They didn't. We did because we let them skip step in the process.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You and I think you bring up a great point, Cassie. And I think this is something that I want our listeners to hear is that buyers don't have a process. They don't know what they're doing. And in fact, I can even take myself as an example. I mean, and you as well. I mean, I've purchased homes. I've gone through this. I coach this. I teach this. But when I am actually the buyer or I am the seller, I'm in a different mindset and I want to be treated as if I don't know anything because you know what? I don't know it all.
Yeah.
And I am going to miss the steps. And I do need that professional to walk me through every step of the way.
Yeah. And I think it helps, especially like newer buyer agents, to slow down and take a breath and be like, okay, this is a new client. Let's take them through the process. And your step may be 3 steps. You know, it could be 8 like ours, it could be 10, but just have the system. And that's where we can then talk about how you can introduce the buyer agency agreement with total confidence. Like this is part of your system.
So here's the question, right? And this is where there's a lot of different opinions. When do you bring up the buyer's agency agreement? I know we coach a ninja, but I'd love to hear kind of what you guys do.
Yeah. So our step one of our process is called intake, and that's where we meet with them. It used to be in person. Now we actually do it on Zoom, which we find is more convenient because sometimes it's hard to get, you know, two buyers together in the same room at the same time with, you know, kids and meetings and all that kind of stuff. So that's actually turned out to be more successful for us. And that's where we do what we call intake. So we, you know, the first question is, you know, what is, you know, brought you here to us today? And we ask all kinds of questions, you know, neighborhood, size, budget, pets, you know, kids, all the things that you want to know, you know, what does their dream house look like, all that kind of stuff. And then we spend a large portion on that. Then what we do is we say, okay, so here's, you know, where we go next. We have an 8-step program. We're just going to start the first 3 steps. That's where we're focusing. We don't want to overwhelm you. So the first step after we're speaking is speaking with a lender. So that's step number 2 and getting approved. Once you have loan approval, then we give them the carrot, which is education day. Mm-hmm. So we are really strong about saying, we're not going to take you out and look at houses until you have loan approval. But what we also do is like to schedule that education day during the intake so that things don't get pushed. Because when they do, like if we don't schedule education day on intake day, things get pushed.
Right.
And, you know, and then we're kind of like weeks and months down the road, as opposed to like, okay, we have a countdown. In 2 weeks, you need loan approval. And it really pushes them to go further. At the end of that meeting, what we do is we talk about the buyer agency agreement. We say, this is the contract that we use to officially hire us. We're going to send you a copy in your buyer packet, which is, you know, what we do after the intake meeting. Mm-hmm. And then what we explain to them is that we are going to do education day together. And that's where we do kind of a 2 to 3 hour tour of various properties. At the end of that education day, we're going to ask you to sign the buyer agency agreement. So this gives us a chance to make sure it's a good fit for both of us.
Right.
And if it's a good fit, then we'll have you sign the buyer agency agreement and we'll continue into the process until we, you know, hand over keys.
Well, you know what I love about that too, and what I'm hearing is that so many times we end up psychologically groveling for business.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, hey, guess what? You're interviewing me. Guess what? I'm also interviewing you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm working with a buyer who is motivated, who is dedicated to getting this done, and that's going to work with me. And I want you to feel comfortable in my ability to represent you. And collectively, together, we'll have success. And so I love that concept of doing that. And one of the things that, Jeremy, you brought this up, because I said you guys use a cover letter, and you said, no, we don't. And you even went on to say, I think sometimes we over-explain it. Kind of talk to me about that, because I think that's a big thing, because we have a lot of people that, well, I've got to talk about all this and tell them all about it. And you guys have a much more simple approach to it.
Yeah, I think you have to know the form. You have to know what you're asking somebody to sign, you know it backwards and forwards and be able to talk about it. But the reality is it's not a complicated form, right?
Yeah, right.
So you don't need to over inundate them with words that they're not going to read or most likely not going to read anyway. Mm-hmm. You just need to be able to talk about it and answer their questions. And usually their questions are really simple. Like it's about, well, what the most common one would be like, what if the seller isn't offering a commission or what if they're not up, you know, if some people are really savvy and they're like, our standard would be just to put the 3% buyer agency agreement. But if they know they're in the $2 million range or more, they are looking at that and there's, well, this one says 2.5, or, you know, what if we find a house that's 2.5? What do we do with that?
Right.
And often we're like, oh, that was just an oversight on our part. We know your budget. Most commissions in that price range are this. We'll just adjust it on the form.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And often, like when they're talking specifically, as we talked about with commissions, is that we will always show a house regardless of the commission. That's our duty as a real estate agent to do that. And then we explain that, you know, it's possible something may come up at 2 or 1%, but we've never sold a house. We've never actually helped a buyer buy our house because there's a lot of other issues that come up besides the discounted commission.
Well, I think you made a good point. If there's somebody who's not offering any form of a buyer's commission, it means that there's somebody who's looking to get a deal and they're focused more on the price or getting a deal versus the quality. And we see this all the time. And so if they're not willing to pay this, what else are they not willing to put money into to bring condition up or to do certain things, right? And so you typically have a home that's going to be lower on the list in terms of the importance to that buyer. And a buyer is going to go, right? Because let's face it, if you've got a phenomenal listing agent that's doing their job and running their process and doing their business, they're going to have a great product, they're going to have great negotiation skills, and they're going to be compensating fairly.
You know, another thing that comes up often for us is people will say, well, I've never been asked to sign this before. Or when I worked with my agent in California, they didn't have me sign this. Or other agents haven't asked me to sign this. So first we're like, ding, 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 red flag, other agents. How many have you been working with? So that, you know, it starts that conversation, right? Of like, okay, well, tell us more about that. The other thing that we say to them is say, yes, we understand. This is how we work. It is really hard to get, it is well, not hard. It is easy to get stretched very thin if we're working with a lot of buyers that aren't serious and dedicated and committed to working with us.
Yes.
So what we, our business model is we work with buyers that are committed to us so that we can 100% commit to them.
Yeah, I love that. It's, you know, I'm committed to working with people who are committed, and that's how we run our business. And this business is based on contracts, and this is the contract that we have for you to hire us.
Yeah. And so, honestly, when someone doesn't want to sign it, it's because they're working with other agents. It helps us weed out buyers that are, you know, just wanting to see a property, or they're shopping agents or whatever that might be.
Yep, exactly. Well, and I think too, and I think Jeremy, you said this too, is that, you know, you'll find that these are the people you didn't want to work with to begin with.
Yeah. It's the ultimate qualifier, right?
Like yeah.
if they pause, doesn't mean we're not going to work with you. It just means I'm going to have my spidey senses up and I'm going to be watching everything. And I'm probably not going to be as an agent, I'm not going to be on your side as much as I might be for somebody who's signed it and is committed. Right.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean I can't work with you. Although right. It tends to be that I don't, to be honest yeah. with you, within a couple of days, it weeds itself out.
Yeah.
And there's usually a strong pull one way or the other. Either they were just hesitant for a couple of days and then now they're comfortable with it and now they sign it, or it becomes, yeah, we're not going to work together. Thanks for your time and
right.
good luck with your search.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that, and the key is then it allows you to go focus on those people that are going to commit to you and put your time, yeah. energy and effort into those people and be in an abundance place as opposed to a scarcity place.
Yeah. And I think, you know, here's the deal. This is the thing that we believe very passionately about. If you're going to use the form, you need to use it 100% of the time.
Yes.
It used to be that we used it, you know, back in like, you know, the early 2000s, we would use it when we found that we were nervous that a buyer just wasn't serious. And it was like, okay, let's have them sign this so that we can make sure that, you know, they're committed to us.
Right.
And usually they wouldn't sign it because they weren't committed to us, right?
Committed you, yeah.
And also we hadn't perfected our
system.
We hadn't yeah. perfected our verbiage around it. We weren't comfortable with the form. So right. That all plays into how a buyer is going to feel about signing it.
Yep.
But in today's day of age, you know, if we are having some buyers use it and sign it and some not, where are we at on an equity lens? That, you know, what if some of those buyers are people of color? What if some of those buyers are, you know, a specific religion? Like, I think we have to really look at, you know, in this day and age with fair housing and our real
yes.
estate industry and really trying to streamline and give the same service to every single buyer, regardless of race or sexual orientation or anything.
Exactly.
We need to treat every single one the same. So I'm a firm believer that either you use it 100% or don't use it.
Right.
But I believe that you really should use 100%.
I agree. Well, and it's like anything else. It raises the level of professionalism. Everybody has clear expectations of what we're doing and where we're going. It's a contract that we know that we can rely upon when things go sideways. And by the way, you know, I mean, this business, there's never a transaction that is the same. There's never a client that is the same. And
yeah.
so what is consistent is the process the real estate agent chooses to use. And I love the fact that, you know, I mean, this is kind of dovetailing into everything, but, you know, you use the buyer's agency agreement, but you have a process that you can explain to me, that you can walk me through, and you know where these steps are and where they happen, and you do it the same way every time. And, you know, and I got to believe that's what gives you that level of consistent business and consistent referral business, going back to that, because if I sign that and I'm your buyer and we had a great transaction, I'm going to tell so many people about it. And you're setting a new standard.
Yeah. And I think that if we're all setting a new standard, like, you know, if there's only a few agents out there that aren't using the buyer agency agreement and you have a wishy-washy buyer who just kind of wants to take advantage of them,
yep.
that's where they're going to go.
Yes.
And then those people that aren't using the agreement are going to have more people trying to take advantage of their services and their professionalism.
Right.
If we all use it, then we don't have a problem.
You know, it always kind of blows my mind. Well, it doesn't, I guess it's normal, but when we talk to people and they say, oh my gosh, I had a client and I couldn't believe it on our first call, they were so difficult. And I said, yeah. And why didn't you just stop there?
Yeah.
Right. Because if they're going to be that way and they're not going to follow your process and go along the way at the very beginning, what makes you think you're going to change them as you work through that process? And why would you put energy and time into that? And most people do because scarcity, because they feel, oh my gosh, well, I got to get this one. And you know, I'm a true believer. You don't have to work with everyone. You need to work with the people that you feel a good fit with, that you're going to have success.
Right. And that's key. It's recognizing when you should walk away.
Yes, and yes.
You don't need to work with everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's why we wait for the buyer agency agreement to be signed after Education Day, because like you can have a really great intake and then you meet them in person and let's say they're two buyers and they are on complete opposite ends of preferences. And there's no marriage counselor in the world that's going to be able to bring them together.
Right, exactly.
You know, and sometimes you're just like, you know, we're not a good fit for you. Like,
yeah.
This is, you know, we're sorry, but we just don't think we're a good fit for you.
You have challenges that we're not qualified to fix.
Yeah. And they often end in divorce.
Yeah. You have some challenges that I'm not qualified to fix. So anyways, but, you know, but that's a great point. I think that, you know, when you talk about that, about understanding that, you know, hey, maybe, you know, we have seen how we work and now we're ready to move to the next step. The other thing that, like a ninja, we coach this, and you guys, I'd love to hear your input on this, but we also coach this at how we don't do it at the beginning, because we have to build some rapport and some trust first, right? Before we're saying, hey, let's commit to each other. Because at the very beginning, if we say, oh, by the way, here's a contract you need to sign, it just feels really salesy, and it feels, guess what? All about me,
yeah.
And not a lot about you, right?
It's but I do think, Michael, I do think you have to introduce it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the first day. Otherwise, it feels like, oh, you're trying to slip this in.
Yes.
It makes people feel uncomfortable too. So we just really briefly, like, it's in the packet. Here it is. We'll talk about it later. Read through it when you get a chance. We'll really, on Education Day, we'll talk and go through your questions. And that sort of diffuses the anxiety about it.
Right. And I think I forget who I talked to. They said that same type of thing, what you do, they introduce it, they make it there and they say, you know, it's not going to be signed today. We're going to do an Education Day, or we're going to do this thing that we're going to do. But then I do only work with buyers who are willing to commit to me. And that's the document that we sign to make that happen.
Yeah.
So it's clear expectations set. If we're working together, you're signing it. You know, you're not signing it today, but we're going to get to know each other and make sure we're a good fit.
Well, and I think if you compare that to a listing process, it's the same process.
Same process.
You don't walk into the listing appointment with a listing contract and say, sign here, and now we can talk.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you build rapport. You offer, you know, do walkthroughs. You give all the suggestions. You talk about vendors, all the things. You do pricing. Like, there's a lot of work you do before you actually sign the listing contract.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm a true believer, you know, we become creatures of habit. And when things change, we get afraid. And the first thing we want to do is we want to put up a wall and tell you all the reasons why we can't do something. But the people who adopt and shift and change are the people who have the longest success. And so I think this is just another learning scenario saying, hey, guess what? Things are a little bit different. Things are changing. So how do we structure our world and our process and our system to adapt to not just benefit ourselves, but also benefit our client? And this is one of those examples.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And, you know, if somebody's like nervous about it, like you've got a new buyer broker who's presented it, but is nervous about what they're going to say. You know, say to them, if you review this document, email it to them, review this document, email me any questions you may have. So then they're going to email the questions and you can take some time to respond and feel confident about your response. You can reach out to a mentor, you can reach out to your manager to get the right responses. And once you've done that a couple times, then it just becomes like, you know, sound bites for you. Like it just, you have the answers right away.
Yeah, you've practiced it, so now your level of competency, right, is up. So your confidence goes up, and you're like, I've got this. And you know, and you bring up a great point, because I've seen brand new agents who don't know any different, who already have a high level of confidence, that have come into this business, and somebody told them this is what you do, and they don't know any different. So that they don't have any preconceived understanding of how anybody did it before, and they just go, well, and they go, how are you getting that signed 100% of the time? And they just look at you and they say, well, that's what I was told to do.
Yeah. Right? Because they had a system. Someone gave them a system and they followed it.
This is what I did. I mean, they told me to do it and they just signed it. So last little thing here, my question for you is, so you do it 100% of the time. What would you say is the percentage of people just go, no, we're not going to do it, or we don't like it?
I think for us, it's a little different because we're 100% referral.
Yeah.
And so I think when we get challenges, let's say we met someone in an open house. And it wasn't based on a referral. Most of the people sign it. I think we've had one in the last several years that didn't sign it.
Right.
We did have someone fire us from it, which was really interesting because, you know, there are some brokers out there who, you know, believe in like handing over the buyer agency agreement and then handing over the letter that fires them at the same time.
Right.
And I'm not, you know me, Michael, I'm pretty cocky when it comes to my talent, and I'm not going to say, okay, hire me, and then now here, fire me. This is how you do it. So it really gives us a chance to, I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, I think the buyer in question was,
when
I don't remember why we didn't work well together, but we showed him 15 houses in a matter of 2 weeks. They were, I think, just didn't have the budget to afford what they really wanted and just wanted to shift gears. At the end of the day, they said, thank you for your time. This isn't working out the way we thought it would. We would like to end our agreement, and please list the 15 houses that we saw so that we can abide by the agreement and make sure that we don't buy a house that's already, we've been already shown.
Right.
Of course, they were all sold.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Right. But we went through the exercise to make them feel comfortable.
Right.
There was no reason not to. We weren't going to get anything out of it either way. So we just moved on.
And the nice thing is we didn't get ghosted. Like, that was the wonderful part about this agreement, is that it's very clear. If this isn't working out, you know, you need to terminate the agreement in writing. And yes, it does say list all the properties, and we didn't even actually pay attention to that at the time and realize now. But it means that, like, okay, now we can shift focus. This buyer is moving on. You know, we'll figure out why they're moving on. But in the meantime, let's focus on the buyers we do have that are committed.
Right.
Well, or not tracking them down to figure out why they went dead, right?
Yeah.
You know, because that happens, right? People change their mind. They go on vacation, forget about you, whatever. But this way, you know what's going on. It almost forces the conversation, which is, again, why we use the agency agreement in the first place, is to have those conversations ahead of time.
Absolutely. And I think the last thing I want to touch on is really important, is that it also protects you from the unethical practices, unfortunately, of our industry, of other agents out there who are not ethical, right? And, you know, are taking advantage of the lack of knowledge that these buyers might have. And we see this happen a lot. And so the challenge is if you have somebody that does that and you haven't educated your buyer, they don't have an agreement, and they go along and an offer's written, I mean, your recourse is very slim to none. That you're going to get paid on whatever effort or energy you put into that client. And so I think that's another thing to remember. I mean, we have a very low barrier of entry into real estate. We have a lot of agents that I call them, you know, they're not, they've been in the business for 10 years, but they've been a new agent 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on that.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? And they just, and it's unfortunate. And so let's protect ourselves, just like a listing agent protects themselves with a listing contract. Let's protect ourselves as a buyer's agent with a buyer's contract.
And there's a lot of ethical brokers out there that end up in these mistakes too, you know, or it could be like new construction that they have, you know, your buyers have to register on site. If they didn't list you as their broker, we don't get the commission.
Right.
You know, some buyers aren't honest. And, you know, then they meet someone at open house and, you know, they're asked, are you working with a broker? And they're like, no. And then they go off and work with this other person. And, you know, so it, there's so many situations and reasons why this agreement should be used. I really don't have a single reason why it shouldn't be used.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think you've hit on a couple of times, Michael, clarity and almost implying that because they signed the buyer agency, they know these things. And I just want to reiterate that it's because you've told as their agent, as the agent that's asked them to sign this, you've told them everything.
Right.
They don't know anything. Assume they know nothing.
Yes. Assume they know nothing.
And even if they've bought 10 houses,
right?
That doesn't mean you have to inundate them with useless information, but you got to hit the key points.
You've got to say, hey, I know you did this, you know, 4 years ago, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to revisit some of the things. And also too, things change,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
consistently things change, and we're not fully aware of them. So any last little things you want to share? I think we covered all the really great stuff about it. Anything you guys, any last little thoughts?
I mean, just reiterating, the easiest way to introduce the buyer agency agreement is with a system.
Yep.
So figure out what your system is and go from there. And it's part of your checklist, and it just becomes second nature. And so you're able to walk in with confidence because this is how you work.
Right.
This is how you work. This is your system. This is going to build the confidence and trust with your buyers.
Well, and I will say kudos to both of you. I mean, I know I reference your website all the time. But you guys have your process listed out there pretty in detail. You have your buyer book. I love your buyer brainstorm piece. That's awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Great. I love that too. But you can tell, that's the other thing too, is I can tell very quickly by going to your site that you do have a process. You've thought it out. It's been methodically thought out and then documented. So well done. But my point is for listeners, if you're curious, well, what's a process? Well, you can go look at Jeremy and Cassie's website. They've got a great process. By the way, just read Appendix E and Appendix A in the Ninja Selling book. There's a process listed out there too. In fact, we even tell you in the buyer process where to talk about the buyer's agency agreement.
Yeah.
And we get verbiage around it. It's in the book. So there's all kinds of information out there. The question is, are you going to commit yourself to raising your level of business to that level of professionalism? And it's going to protect you and it's going to put the buyer in a better position as well.
Yeah. And our website is johnsonandwalker.com and is spelled out, and go there. Just, you know, feel free to check it out. And you can always email us if you have questions. We're happy to help, you know, raise the industry for everyone.
Hopefully you'll make it your own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly welcome to copy everything we've done, but if it doesn't speak to you, you're not going to do well. So,
I will tell you a funny story. I did have somebody one time come up to me and they say, "Hey, we have a new buyer's book," and they showed it to me and I said, "Oh, that's not your buyer's book. That's Cassie."
Shut up. Who is it?
Which is totally fine.
No names. But my point was, is that I said, hey, you know, I love the fact that you compliment, replicating is complimenting. But I said, you know, you might want to make it a little bit, you know, not just exactly the same way.
Did they at least change the names?
They did change the names. But I will put your contact information in the show notes as well in case people want to reach out to you. What's the best email address for the people to reach you?
Team@johnsonandwalker.com.
Okay, team@johnsonandwalker.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well. And hey, I want to thank you guys for taking the time today. I know you're really busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. But this has been educational for me, number one. Number two, for our listeners as well. And it's something that I think people should take seriously. And if you're not sure about how to do this, you know, maybe reach out to Jeremy and to Cassie and get some advice, or go to your office, like you said, Cassie, and talk to your broker, talk to her mentor, somebody who's doing it already. I know there's a lot of other agents out there that have been doing things similar to what you all have been doing. And so there's resources.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. It was nice to chat with you.
It was nice chatting with you. Thank you so much. And like I say to all of our listeners, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, please pass it along. Give us a rating. Let us know. And also, if there's new topics you'd like us to cover, just email me, fanning@windermere.com, and let me know if there's new things we can do. And we always end these by saying, be awesome, help somebody. And thank you to the two of you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we want to thank you for listening to our Windermere Coaching Minute. We hope you found this content helpful. If you did, please feel free to share it and give us a rating. And we'll always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody, and make it a great day.